opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sorry, this is not Mark Kent. This is Chris Kellstrom. Mark's off today, so I'm filling in again. Fortunately, I have Red Smith here to keep me out of trouble.
I'll try.
And we don't have Linda to do all the heavy lifting, but we do have Jimmy. Jimmy's in the booth with us today. How are you doing this morning, Jimmy?
Oh, I'm doing great. Live in Northern California, and I love it up here, and hope at least the state of Jefferson will be coming soon.
Okay, well, we didn't get a chance to tell you, but you have to do all the heavy lifting because Linda is not here. So
yes.
I've been shanghaied.
You look like you're built for it, though. We've got about 1,000 pounds of beef in this room, and there's only three of us.
A little bit.
Hey, under all this is the body of an Olympic gymnast.
Believe it or not, this is all natural, guys. So, yeah, we're here today on Sovereign Minds. Boy, once again, there's a million things to talk about. So,
as always.
Getting ready for that blue wave to hit. We might not be on much longer. As soon as the big blue wave hits, we'll probably have to go to easy listening jazz or something else.
Yeah, I'll get out my umbrella.
So, speaking of the blue wave, I want to talk about Donald Trump held a rally in Elko, Nevada today. Actually, there was a few rallies in Elko, Nevada this weekend. And for those of you out there, I think it's not too late to get your tickets to Obama. I think he'll be there Monday, matter of fact, tomorrow. So, go ahead.
I heard they're actually paying people to take those tickets.
Well, I want to talk about the numbers a little bit. So Trump went to Elko, Nevada and held a rally. Elko, Nevada has 20,451 people. Not very big town. In fact, in Elko, Nevada sits out there with, there's not a bigger town for 200 miles in every single direction around
there's
it.
Nothing.
Yeah. So Elko, Nevada is quite a metropolitan area of Nevada. And I'd heard there was 90,000 requests for tickets in Elko, Nevada, a population of 20,000 people. Now, Joe Biden did a rally in Las Vegas on the same day. 197 people showed up there, and that includes the media. So apparently about 100 people showed up and 93 people from MSNBC, CNN. And Las Vegas, by the way, has a population of 613,600-plus. So, yeah.
Who wants to see Creepy Uncle Joe?
Well, apparently 193 people did.
I guess.
Or at least they went. So yeah, this blue wave, I don't know where they're getting their blue wave numbers, but I'm looking at a small town of 20,000 people. It has 4.5 times the amount of requests per population for the entire town. And again, these people aren't just roaming in from all the giant towns around them. There is not a bigger town for 200 miles in every direction. And meantime, Las Vegas, 100 people showed up.
Well, here's the thing to me is that you see the huge popularity that Trump is maintaining, right? And as popular as he continues to be, he's packing these stadiums. You know, no matter what the media says about his poll numbers and stuff, I mean, this guy packs him in like nobody else. If the Republican Party is losing ground in their races, it's not the president's fault. It's not Donald Trump's fault. He's as popular with the base as ever. It's because you guys have been these ballless, vanilla, tapioca pudding, lame rhinos, and you're going to pay the price for it.
Yeah, the last 100 years, but the last at least 30 or 40 years, they've been worried about what the media is going to say about them. I mean, we've had that actual comment
made to us personally
to our faces that, well, the media would attack us. Yeah. Well, Donald Trump's showing you, yeah, the media attacks you, and so what? You know, have a pair, stand your ground, and slap back if you have to. But I think some of the Republicans, I mean, Lindsey Graham, let's face it, Lindsey Graham was about as a vanilla milk, you know, soft milk toast as you could get. And that guy's finally got a little bit of a swagger because I think he's finally realized that, hey, you know what? The media attacks you, and you can just go ahead, attack me. I don't care.
Come at me.
Yeah, exactly. Come at me, bro.
Yeah. Come at me, man. And, you know, that's a lot of what it is because that's how they disarm our arguments. They never allow us to get to our arguments or those dirty little things that usually screw them up called facts.
Yeah.
You know, is because the minute that you open your mouth, you're an Islamophobe, you're a misogynist, you're a homophobe, you're all of these horrible things. And at some point you finally just go, okay, now what? Exactly. Now let's talk about the facts.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's where you have to get to in the argument with these guys, and you can't be afraid of them. You can't be afraid of the things that they say. We have to fight back against this politically correct system. Politically correct is nothing but censorship that takes away your argument while they do what they want to do.
Yeah, and that's how they've gotten us for centuries. I mean, you can't say that. You can't say that that's bad. Well, what, I can't say any facts? Well, no, because it's racist. I can't tell you the numbers, the actual number. No, because that's homophobic.
Yeah, and a lot of times people will, if you have an argument with somebody that does not believe what you believe, I've noticed a lot of times they'll circumvent the topic you're talking about
all the time, yeah.
And bring up something else that's completely irrelevant to the argument.
They love the
just
strong
to throw you off guard because they don't have a legitimate argument.
And their other thing is projection. They love projection. It's like, this is what we are, so we are going to project that upon you, and then you have to defend yourself. And it's like, okay, we're Antifa, we're anti-fascist. Oh, okay, so you're anti-fascist, so you're against, quelling free speech and using violence to stop your opponents. And, well, wait a minute, that you are literally the definition of fascism, you know, and you call yourself anti-fascist. And that's, you know, same thing. Oh, Democrats want to call everybody racist. Oh, you're racist, you're racist. You want voter ID? That's racist. Aren't you the guys that used to parade around in Ku Klux Klan uniforms?
Which is one of the things that I would like to hit on, too, is that this whole voter ID thing is... So what your argument is to me is that if you have to show ID to vote, and that's prejudice against minorities, you're literally making the statement that minorities are too poor, too stupid to figure out how to get ID. That is the most racist comment I think I have ever heard in my life. You don't have a problem with them having to get a Social Security card. It's not racist for them to have to do that to get a license to drive. But when it comes to voting, it's racist?
Yeah, or to get into a Hillary Clinton campaign or a speech, you have to show an ID to get in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
meanwhile, there's 3 million registered voters over the population of the people that are supposed to have or be
legit. And I think, I think that's just in California.
Yeah, I heard some guy talking about that, and he was saying how these voters will, you know, like 20 people will have the same address. Or some of the addresses they write down are laundromats.
Yeah.
Hotel rooms.
Check cashing places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we've had some of the same in my line of work with tax consulting and stuff like that. We've seen reports from the IRS and stuff where these little pods of voters are also the same pods that file tax returns where there's 20 or 30 tax returns going to the same address,
yeah.
The IRS goes, hey, wait a minute, we think these are fraudulent.
Or the same Social Security number. We talked to a guy when I was doing construction, and he said it's amazing because he was checking that stuff out. He says, it's amazing. This guy made over $1 million last year because all those paychecks were on that one
Social Security number.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how does that work?
It doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much fraud out there. Now, I heard we might have Mark Mauser might be calling, and Mark Mueser. Have you heard anything about that, Jared? I was told earlier in the week that Mark Mueser might be calling, and who's running for Secretary of State in California. So if we get a phone call from a Mark, that's probably the guy. He might be at 11 o'clock hour, so we can talk to him about a whole bunch of these things. He's been doing quite a bit of videos and campaign videos and standing in front of check cashing places with 97 or 87 people registered to vote in this address and whatnot. So, yeah, the voter fraud is rampant. I think some of that's getting exposed. I've been seeing some arrests being made there. There's actually been some Department of Justice
trickles, little small ones here and there.
Yep. There was a big report today on the DNC and Hillary Clinton campaign and all the money that was in it. And we all knew it was happening, but it's finally kind of coming to fruition now where they're doing investigations that she was taking money. You know, the maximum contributions were so much per candidate and so much per party and then so much, so she had her victory fund. Well, they were just rolling millions and millions of dollars into the victory fund, and that's all coming out. So, we'll see. I don't know.
Speaking of elections, I wanted to put this out there. Kay Graves up in Trinity County, hardcore patriot, great, great lady, has asked for people to show up at Trinity County Courthouse Monday, October 22nd at 9 a.m. There is actually a trial on the contest to the election there because Kay Graves and some of her people through their work and with Election Integrity Project, guess what, found some real problems in the Trinity County election. And that's actually going to its initial phases of trial tomorrow morning.
Oh, that'll be interesting. Right here and right outside of River City. That'll be interesting.
Weird, huh?
Yeah. And I wonder if it's, it has to do with either big government or the Democratic Party.
There's a difference?
Well, not really, but it just seems like, the people that don't want voter ID all come from one side of the aisle. The people that seem to have all this corruption are come from one side of the aisle. It's like, does that not wake somebody up here? What seems to be the problem? Everybody should be concerned about voter ID. And, if it's actually racist, I would think the Republicans would be more concerned about it than not. So maybe it's not really racist. Yeah. Maybe it's...
Meanwhile...
It's nationalistic.
Meanwhile, I'm cashing a $20 check and they ask for my ID.
Yeah, imagine that, huh? Yeah, so...
Or even though I have gray in my beard, I go buy some beer and they ask for my ID.
Well, I'm pretty sure
or
if you...
a lighter, yeah. Can of chew, or...
I'm pretty sure if you sign up for food stamps or welfare, I wouldn't know personally, but I'm pretty sure that you're going to have to show some sort of an ID to get those programs.
But you don't have to be a citizen.
Well, yeah, non-citizens have IDs in California, so...
Well, they do. They'll issue them to you. And, the DMV has officially shut down its motor voter registration now.
I heard there's some problems.
Due to discrepancies.
Huh.
Because people started demanding an audit of the motor voter rolls. And initially they said, you can't look at that. I said, well, yeah, it's a public record, isn't it? So why can't we look at that? We don't have a reason. We're just not going to let you. And then they found some discrepancies, and now they've just quietly shut the program down. And they, one of the things that they found out that they were doing is they were pre-registering early drivers. So these kids.
Hold on. Let me guess. Was it for the Republican Party?
No.
No.
That's what's weird.
Dang. Hold on. Constitutionalists?
They, all of these kids that were 16 to 18 years old getting their permits and stuff, they were pre-registering them to vote. Most of these kids didn't even know it. They're trying to figure out how that's even legal under the motor voter law. But strangely, all of these kids that were being pre-registered were registered in districts and registered to vote as Democratic voters.
Probably just a slip. Yeah, maybe because D becomes before R, it just automatically goes in there.
Yeah, and I'm sure it was going to be a mistake when people got these lists of, these kids that you could go vote for.
Yeah.
Vote with their name and their addresses.
Huh.
It is so...
And I have a feeling that if those kids didn't vote, somebody would probably vote for them, which would be nice because kids get busy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
somebody, they're not ready to vote yet. They're not a legal age anyway, so you go make a choice for them,
I saw another story where a bus full of voters was actually turned around. I think it was in Georgia, I want to say, but they'd gone to an older folks' home, I think, and they'd, got a whole busload of people and they were hauling them to the polls, and that big bus was painted with... whatever it was. It wasn't Acorn, but it may as well have been. It was some, liberal group hauling these people down. Well, somebody made a stink or somebody found out, and, we're living in a different administration now. Well, that particular old folks' home was funded with government funds, and you can't do that. You can't ship them, You know, so all of a sudden that bus has turned around and they went back. So I think we're going to see quite a bit of that in the next few weeks where, you know, some of the stuff that they've done in the past that they've gotten away with, they're still going to get away with some of it. You can't stop it all immediately, but there's going to be more and more stories like that because it's the fraud is rampant out there, rampant.
It is. That's Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Well, you got 5,000 potential voters coming in from Honduras here pretty soon.
They tried to make it. They got turned around. They found, you know, and let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, you know, that whole thing obviously was funded by somebody. Those people walking were not carrying burlap sacks with all their worldly possessions and drinking river water.
Exactly.
I mean,
I was waiting for the Pope to show up at the border to try to walk him across.
Yeah, and he may have been down there, but they didn't make it quite as far enough to him. But, yeah, I mean, the Trump administration was like, okay. My opinion, what that whole thing was they have thrown everything at Donald Trump. They have thrown everything they possibly could to try to make something stick. And the furthest they ever got to swaying public opinion was showing pictures of kids in cages or whatever and being torn away from their parents, yada, yada, yada. And they even had, you know, Trump's daughter and Trump's wife had mentioned, well, you know, we don't want kids separated from their parents, which, of course, who does? So I think that was the closest they ever got to finding the chink in the armor, and they needed to do it again before the election. So let's get 5,000 more of them heading this way.
You know, and a lot of people have the misnomer that ICE is on the border, you know, doing a lot of this stuff. Well, ICE, and I know this from firsthand experience, I can't tell you who told me, but they are out there mainly getting MS-13 and these narcotics dealers off the streets.
Yep.
And I have been told from said person that they don't care about some family. You know, if they pulled them over, they probably wouldn't even incarcerate them. They're after the drug dealers and the criminals, ISIS.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the biggest glaring statistics that doesn't get mentioned about these children that are separated from the people that bring them across the border, 90% of them are coming across the border with people that are not their parents or relatives.
Yep.
They're coming over with coyotes. They're coming over with sex traffickers. They're coming over being used as drug mules.
And you saw video after video on this first migration, what, a year ago or so. And, I mean, these parents are going up, oh, parents in quotation marks, you know, oh, there's Johnny, and Johnny's looking at him like, I don't know who the hell you are.
Wow.
You know, why are you grabbing me? I don't know who you are. And it's like, you know, but hey, I'm going to take little Johnny with me because this is my kid. And how many kids ended up missing at the border?
5,000.
Yeah, 5,000 kids that don't know where they went.
And even more than that disappeared from federal custody.
Hmm. Yeah,
where'd
strange.
They go?
Yeah,
yeah. And another thing said person, this ICE person told me that a lot of the footage we were seeing of these incarceration places where they have these kids were a couple years old. Because he had been there. He was previously a Border Patrol officer, and he said that footage was a couple years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Candace Owens went down there. I don't know if you guys saw that one. We couldn't play it on the radio show. Jared would have to bleep half the darn video. But she went down there and actually toured one of the centers where they were holding the children that had been being separated. And she walked out of there furious because, you know, as a woman who's been in inner cities and been exposed to government-run daycares and whatnot, she said those kids, it was unbelievable. I mean, they had ping-pong tables and televisions and libraries and, you know, they were doing
video
arts and crafts.
And internet
yes,
access.
Exactly.
Television.
And she said there is not a single inner-city school Head Start anywhere in this country that had half of what those kids had there. And you're saying those kids are, you know, being treated horribly. And she says it was unbelievable. And she was furious. Why is there so many tax dollars going down here taking care of these kids who are being separated from the parents and being separated from the parents, by the way, because of Bill Clinton's law that was passed in the 90s. That's why they're separated. Yeah, I know. Because at the time, the parents that got across the border, you had 90 days or whatever to see an immigration judge for your status. Mm-hmm. Well, if you came across with your kids, you had to be held until you saw an immigration judge, and sometimes it took 90 days. Well, they passed a law that said you can't hold kids more than 30 days. Okay, well, if the parents have to wait 90 days to see an immigration judge and the kids are with them, after 30 days, where do the kids go? either the whole family turns around and goes back to Guatemala, Mexico, Honduras, wherever they came from, or the kids have to be put somewhere while the parents are still waiting for the immigration hearing. Mm-hmm. You know, and if the parents insist on staying for the immigration hearing, well, you just passed a law that probably felt real good when you passed it and thought it was a great idea, and now you have separated kids from the border. That's on you, Bill Clinton, and that's on you, Obama. Well, you didn't change the law.
Here's the thing, too, is you take the condition that these kids are existing in presently as separated from their parents. So we're supposed to return them to conditions that if they were the similar conditions and they lived in America, CPS would show up to take the kids away from the parents?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, and those, yeah, that was probably basically the next best step from going to Disneyland would be in this, you know, kids detention center, so to speak, or kids center where you've got video games, ping pong tables, you know, color television, movies, videos, teachers, libraries. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got everything you could possibly want. Exactly, yeah. But we separated them. Well, okay, then change the laws, change the immigration law, change the stupid law you passed that felt good, that was a, you know, once again, a nice liberal, feely good idea that completely backfired as usual.
Now, you said that the people from Honduras, that caravan had been turned away, because the last thing I seen was this morning they were on a bridge at the Mexican border, southern Mexican border.
No, that was yesterday when they were on that bridge, but they sent in about half of them. They sent in buses and they got on the buses and went back to Honduras because basically the Trump administration said, we're going to stop all funding from all of you. And Mexico, you better do something about this. So Mexico sent in the police, who were brutalized, by the way, because apparently these weren't all good people coming across the border. I don't know if you saw any of those pictures.
And I'm sure there was a few people from El Salvador in that group. And
well, that's Honduras itself said that they have identified and listed over 100 of them that are members believed to be part of ISIS.
Oh,
great. That were in the caravan. And here's the funny thing to me is, where did Mexico stop this caravan? At their border wall.
Hmm.
Weird.
Yeah.
Provocative.
Racist.
Exactly. Yeah. I thought that was horrible. Jared, we probably need to go off to a break, I'm guessing. Jared's getting itchy over there, so why don't we go off to a break, and we'll be on the other side.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways. Pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes, I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies and leave them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are unseen, sadly in search of and one step in back of themselves. And they're slow of moving and green. Cowboys are special, with their own brand of misery from being alone too long. To die from the cold in the arms of a nightmare, knowing well that your best days are gone.
What shall we do about them? Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media sound bites. Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Light Church in Bella Vista. Are you aware there are at least 7 million people in California who call themselves Christians? And of them, less than 15% will vote this coming election. If we are to survive the continuing moral decay of our California political leaders, every Christian must stand up, be counted, and vote. In order to return to godly moral values, Christians must vote according to the principles of the Bible. Regardless of your political party, please vote for candidates who believe in and live the values taught in the Word of God. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth a ride.
Tribute to Lavoie Finicum, so never forget, justice for Lavoie, and gosh, I hope some people go to jail over there. I was sent a friend request by Dwayne Emmer yesterday, so I believe he's been let out of Lone Park, but he's in a halfway house now, and he said they keep messing with him and, you know, keep making rules. Yeah, but hopefully he will be out of the halfway house soon enough and back home where he belongs. So
was that the gentleman that rode the horse down to?
That was the gentleman that rode Hellboy, and Hellboy has passed since he was incarcerated. So
you know, I feel so terrible because I was actually in Aetna when he rode through there, but I was down on the ground doing crane signals because we were lifting up these units for a healthcare center there. And after we got them all up, I went back up on the roof, and these guys were like, "Yeah, this guy rode by on a horse." And I was like, "Oh man, I missed it, because I would have shut it down, man, and went and, you know, gave him a salute."
Well, it's funny because I was wondering where you were working up there, because I was delivering to the store that's about one block up the road from there. So on that Tuesday, I think he rode through on a Tuesday, and I was there, but I was there earlier before he rode through, so I didn't get to see him. But yeah, what a patriot!
Yeah,
great patriot, and guy trying to do the right thing and gets thrown in prison.
Well, and there's other political prisoners that are still going through it that need to be
a whole bunch
set
of
free.
Them. Yeah,
and it's the entire reason that they're incarcerated is predicated on data and evidence that was turned out to be complete crap.
Yeah, well, the FBI did an investigation and had some informants in the whole Bundy.
There was more informants at Malheur than there were protesters.
Yeah, they said there's 15, and Dwayne Emmer said he feels there's more like 45 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
there was more of them than there people.
We can trust the FBI, though, right? Because they're above reproach. They're a great law enforcement agency, I was told. No.
That's what Comey said.
Yeah, I thought they were, not so much. Well, I'm sure if they were corrupt, the CIA would stuff that out right away.
I could spend a couple of shows talking about just Special Agent in Charge Greg Britzing and, you know, his history. and the bodies and the reports of misconduct that have followed that guy.
Yeah, I'm almost kind of getting tired of, you know, and I love Sean Hannity, but I'm kind of getting tired of him saying, oh, hey, this isn't the rank and file. The rank and file FBI guys are great guys. Well,
are they?
Hey, good question, because I'll tell you what, if I worked for somebody that was as corrupt as that agency is, and I just kept showing up for work every day and not saying a darn word, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Are they?
Yeah.
You know?
Show me.
That's
testify.
That's what I have a little problem with, the people with the thin blue line flags, and don't get me wrong, if I was driving down the road and saw an officer, you know, in a fight or a struggle with a suspect, I would stand on the side of law enforcement and help him out any way I could. But, you know, I remind my neighbors and friends that have the thin blue line flags on their trucks or fly the flags outside of their house or whatever. I go, you know, those are police officers that shot down LaVoie Finicum and killed him in the snow. You do realize that, right? You know,
yeah. And commit other atrocities and other things that are very bad and need to be dealt with. And
were those DOJ guys or?
No, they were state troopers.
There was a combination of state troopers and the FBI SWAT team, the hostage rescue team.
Hey, guys, we have a caller. We have Nick on the phone. Nick was going to be in the studio. So, Nick, are you there?
Oh, I'm here. I wanted to get back to the caravan, but that's the first time I heard that Hellboy had passed.
Yeah.
And that's got to be heartbreaking.
Yep.
Especially to him. Oh, about the caravan, I read this morning that it's up to 5,000 people and they're moving forward.
Well,
and I also had a thought. I heard that Nancy Pelosi, Kamala Harris and Maxine Waters are on their way down there with voter registration cards so they can vote the minute they cross the border.
Well, I hope they go down there because I think you need ID to come back across the border, and I would just say, sorry, your ID is invalid.
Well, and they could save us a lot of money, too. They could sign them up for welfare and Section 8 housing while they're down there, and when they step across the line, they can be all set up.
Yeah, yeah. No, I heard about half of them were turned around. I heard buses were shipped in, and they were sent back. I saw the pictures and the videos of the buses going back the other way. You know, I think as of last week, we were talking about you can't believe anything your government tells you, and you can't believe everything the media reports. So I don't know what to believe, Nick. I wasn't down there and saw it with my own eyes. So
you can believe in President Trump.
I do believe in President Trump. Hey, we have a chair here for you, Nick. Are we going to see you in it, or are you going to end up taking the day off?
Oh, it sounds like you guys got plenty of help. I'll come on in next time you need me.
Okay. All right.
Hey, getting back to LaVoie Finicum, I want to remind everybody that when they claimed that gun was stolen that he had on him, that was not the case. I asked his widow that.
Yep.
And they just threw that out there, and then you never heard about it again. And doesn't that leave a sour taste in your mouth?
Yeah, you didn't see the retraction letter on that, did you?
It leaves a sour taste in my mouth.
No, you didn't. And that stuff just gets old. And, you know, how can you live with yourself? Like you mentioned, you know the outfit is corrupt, and most of them stay there for their pay and their pensions. And, boy, I'll tell you, some of them, it's got to be kind of hard to live with themselves.
You know, I would think so. But the way the federal government's growing and the way just about every agency out there, it must not be that hard to live with yourself, Nick, because there sure is a whole lot of them.
Well, I saw where Trump had a roundtable of all the different agencies and told them to take a 5% cut. So maybe it'll get thinned down.
I did see that. Something. Now, normally what happens if you want to cut the budget, what you do, and they scream bloody murder, is you just don't give them the increases. You keep it the same as it was the year before. And to the Democrats, that is a budget cut because they are supposed to grow by 3% or 4% or whatever. And if you just leave it the same as it was the year before, that is a budget cut to the big government.
But by no means has Trump been a fiscal hawk. He's increased us by $1 trillion deficit already.
He has, and you're absolutely right. Now, I really believe that Congress has a big portion of that. I mean, he signed that omnibus bill. He did not want to sign that omnibus bill, and he told him this will be the last time. Yeah. You know, we'll see if it is. But
we finally had to take the continuing resolution away. It had to happen.
Right. But, you know, he needed the funding for the military so he could come out with his executive order on December, 17th, 2017, or...
And I'm getting the feeling of the way the world's going. We're going to need that military revamped and ready to go. I mean, they've been worn down by over two decades of constant warfare this point.
I had seen something. They just appointed a judge to oversee the military tribunals. So It's getting interesting, I'm telling you.
What military tribunals would those be?
Well, the ones that are coming up, because remember, we're still under a declaration of war, so, and we've got Judge Kavanaugh really understood that during his confirmation hearings, there's a different set of laws,
Yeah.
So, and Guantanamo Bay is ready to go.
Well, that's
interesting times. Have a great day.
Hey, Nick, thank you, sir.
That's, The courthouse down there for military tribunals has been completely remodeled and expanded.
Huh.
It's weird.
Maybe I wonder what they're getting ready for.
I don't know, because these terrorists we don't seem to be capturing. We're just whacking them left and right by the bushel.
Hmm. And the refugees have places to stay on the border, so that probably wouldn't be them.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Could it be maybe those millions upon millions of dollars that went into the Hillary Clinton victory fund? Now, since she didn't have a victory, where did that money go?
I don't know. I do know that there is a large part of the population of this country that is not going to settle for anything less than criminal trial and indictment.
Anybody want to raise their hands?
No.
Bunch of arms just went up in this room. Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm ready for some people to go to jail. This is long enough. This is ridiculous. I mean, when Dwayne Emmer sits in jail and the Hammonds sit in jail for doing absolutely nothing but, you know, trying to protect their country or standing up for the Constitution, when the Bundys are held in jail for 2 years, you know, when Lavoie Finicum is shot dead in the snow for because he's a virus that needs to be stopped, and meantime, we've got all these actors running around with their just raping millions and millions of dollars, raping and plundering and pillaging the United States of America, and they're walking free.
Colluding with the enemies of our nation.
Yes.
Colluding. Was there Russian collusion? Yeah.
How about Iranian collusion?
Do you really think that packaging up a bunch of currency and gold bullion and stuff and shipping it to our enemies? Oh, and for the first time in history, another country has carried out assassinations with drone strikes, and that happened to be the Iranians with drones that are remarkably like American drones. Where'd they get that technology?
Yeah, well, how about John Kerry, an ex-Secretary of State, going over to Iran? I mean, I don't know, I'm not even sure as a citizen you're going to Iran. Aren't they on a travel ban?
Yep.
Okay, so how is it a citizen, ex-Secretary of State or not, a citizen goes over to Iran and is making deals with them?
You can't.
Especially if we're under a declaration of war.
Yeah. And yeah. You're colluding with a foreign government that is listed as an enemy of the United States of America.
I think that's called, it starts with a T, some reason.
And
it starts
with a T. Reason?
Yes, starts with a T and ends with a reason, I think is what that is called.
You know, and when people like Maxine Waters and Spartacus and these other idiots call for civil unrest, call for fighting in the streets,
that's deplorable.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that brings up a point. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, George Soros and the Clinton Foundation are paying some of these so-called protesters and aggravators. Now, if I physically accosted somebody while I was at work being paid, my boss would be responsible for that, wouldn't they?
Should be.
So, you know, why aren't these people that are funding these radicals, why aren't they being...
And that's because they all open shell corporations and mock centers, so it's not George Soros necessarily funding them. It's George Soros funding the, you know, whatever, the Enlightened Freedom Fighters Association. And then, they donate to them, exactly. And then it finally gets down to the people swinging bike locks in the streets. Uh-huh. And if anything ever were to start going back up the chain, well then, oh, that was a bad group. We're going to close down the anti-fascist, you know, whatever.
Well, one of the good things that came out of Christina Blasey Ford is now a lot of people are awake to the fact that they've been funneling money through these GoFundMe and Indiegogo and stuff like that. For years, this is how they've been moving dark money around.
And where is she now? Because she's still a victim. So, I mean, are we still seeking justice? Or is she no longer a victim because her time has passed and it's really not that big of a deal?
She took her money and split.
Yeah, she certainly did. Like the accusers of Herman Cain. But she'll have book deals and she'll have movie deals and she'll be a big star.
I wonder if she wears, you know, those big glasses she was wearing to make her look really meek and humble?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if she wears those all the time.
I don't know. Probably not.
No. I've looked for pictures of her, and not once did I see pictures of her with those glasses.
Mm-hmm. You know, and here's this lady that was appointed lawyers and all this stuff because she couldn't afford it. She's a senior research professor at Stanford University.
Has two houses and some of the most
expensive real estate
in the state.
And
yeah.
I looked up what a senior research professor makes. If she's making bare bucket minimum at her wage scale, $232,000 a year.
Yeah. And by the way, Bernie supporters and young millennials out there, that's where your tuition is going. That's why you owe so much in student loans. It's the book deals, the $100 book, the $100 math book you have to buy every semester that changes.
That was written by your professor.
Or was your professor was paid to go with this particular book in his class, and somehow he ended up getting a donation or a trip to Hawaii or a kickback of somehow. When math hasn't changed for, math doesn't change. 2 + 2 = 4, no matter what.
You want to protest something? Ask for your money back.
Yeah.
Because you are literally becoming a wage slave before you even start your life. You are an indebted wage slave to the system, and you're being trained to be basically a box of rocks. You are smart enough just to operate the system, but not smart enough to figure out maybe you shouldn't be.
Yeah, and don't ask any questions, and don't have a differing view from anybody, because if you do, you will be shot down immediately, and your grades will suffer and everything else. So don't have a different view. Don't ask any questions. Just get programmed, do what you're supposed to do, and by the way, you owe a whole bunch of money. So start paying that back.
I've mentioned this to you guys before. My daughter was taking a math class at Shasta College, and they had a substitute teacher in for a week, and she said that two times on two different days, this guy went on a huge tirade about Trump in a math class.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that?
I had a professor.
Is that what you're paying for?
A professor down at Cosumnes College in Sacramento back in the early '90s, I guess, and it was a American history class, which, you know, I was kind of interested. Oh, this is going to be cool. I kind of like this. This will be nice. And he basically said, here's the book. Read the book. Once you read the book, there's no sense in me talking about what's in the book. So we'll talk about other things. And this guy, he ended up having a nervous breakdown the next semester, but I think he was in the middle of it when I had him. And he would basically bring the newspaper and just read articles that were interesting to him and then just rant and rave and you know, on and on. So there was no point in going to the class because there was no instruction, there was no teaching, there was no anything. You just sat in the class because you're supposed to sit in the class. So I remember one day I went ahead and skipped the class because it was a waste of time to go there. And I ran into one of the kids that I had in the class. I said, hey, what'd the wackadoo talk about last week? He says, oh, he went on a big old NRA rant. Well, immediately, yeah, that was my hot button issue back in those days, big time.
American history of the NRA started by white abolitionists to arm freed black slaves so they could protect themselves from the KKK.
That's not what he was talking about, but we had that was probably the one lively class was the next one because I went in there and I just sat there patiently waiting for him to hit on the NRA, and sure enough, he was dumb enough to bring it up, and I mean, we just went at it, and it was like, everybody in the class that normally was asleep, all of a sudden was kind of looking around like, whoa, what's happening here? This is interesting, you know, and I just laid into him, and typical, when you're arguing with a liberal, they have no facts, they just have feelings, and they're all wrong, and, you know, so he's saying, oh, the NRA wants cop killer bullets, so I had to explain to him what a cop killer bullet was, and we went on, and, oh, they don't want background checks. I said, you don't know what you're talking about. They absolutely agree with background checks, but once you've passed one, you shouldn't have to continue to take them and have waiting periods. I said, therefore, a universal background check, where once you've been cleared to buy a gun, you go in there, stick your thumb in the machine to get your thumbprint, you buy the gun, you walk out the store, and, I mean, we went on, and all of a sudden, he had nothing. He had nothing other than, you know.
Did you pass that class?
You know, it's funny. I ended up changing my thing to pass or fail. Hell, like I said, this guy was a wackadoo. We had never had quizzes. We had never had homework. We'd never had anything. He gave a test that I think the high points was like 26 out of 100.
Oh, man.
It was so impossible. It was so ridiculous. And at one point, before we had taken any tests, done any homework or anything, I went in there and I said, hey, you know, I didn't even see what my grade is in here. I mean, he pulls up his book and he holds it up and he's kind of looking in there and there's nothing in there. So he holds it so I can't see it. He goes, well, looks to me like you've got about a C. And I go, a C? Are you kidding me? And he goes, it's a high C. It might be a B. I go, look, dude, I have a 4.0 average right now.
Oh my
God. I said, this is going to kill my score. I said, this is ridiculous. It's more of a B than you can bring it up. And oh my God, you know, and I don't know how many hundreds of dollars did I pay to take this class? You know,
I actually went to college to get my degree in history. I was going to be a history teacher. And it was actually the college experience that convinced me I don't want any part of academia. I don't. And, you know, with discussing with my history teachers that I was taking, it was very clear to me that I wasn't going to be able to teach history at all.
Right there with you, brother. I was my second semester at Shasta College. I was 18, almost 19 years old, and I remember I was taking an intro to business class. At the time, I was working in a grocery store with an opportunity to manage a store. I was closing the store and opening the store, and there was an opportunity. I ended up managing the store by that summer. And but I'll never forget. I still remember verbatim the college professor. He says, "Profit. What is profit? Profit's the amount of money you have left over after the initial cost of an item, and your overhead is deducted from the selling price." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" And I'm looking around, and everybody around me is studiously writing this down. And I'm like, "Why in the hell am I in here?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm at the store figuring labor percentages and gross profits and net profits, and it's like, and I'm here to hear you tell me what the definition of profit is. So that was my moment when I said, I'm wasting my time. I can learn a heck of a lot more in the real world. So
a lot cheaper.
And make money while you're doing it.
Absolutely.
Not paying out money.
It is. It's academia is so rigged, and we are just rubber stamping these kids out, you know, with no real life skills, no real life knowledge. They have a political ideology now, but they have no life skills.
And they vote in the right party.
They have no job skills. They have no training. They have no preparation for the real world.
Yeah. Oh, I got a Jim Dandy for you. When my daughter was going to Shasta Meadows, and this is probably 15, 18 years ago, she was in, I think, fourth grade, and she brought some homework home. And I was going over homework, looking at it, and one of the questions was, and I kid you not, was, why were the troops in Vietnam wrong for what they were doing? And I snapped because my dad did two tours in Vietnam, and, you know, he didn't like it, but he did it. And I went down there and complained to the school board, and the next couple days I get this letter in the mail. They mailed out to everybody saying, oh, it was taken out of context and you didn't mean it like that. But, you know, this guy was, he had an agenda.
How do you take that out of context?
Yeah, he had an agenda because he was, you know, one of the 60s hippies that have infiltrated our academia, and it was just, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, like all of them. Hey, Jared, should we go off to a break before the top of the hour or wait till the top of the hour? All right. You want to take a quick break?
Go ahead and cut a quick one.
All right. Sounds good. We'll be on the other side.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about water when we come back.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry, He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Sovereign Minds. We're getting close to the top of the hour, so I think when we come back on the other side of the hour, we're going to talk about some Trump and California water projects.
Hey, there's some interesting things going on.
There definitely
and
is.
What does it mean and what doesn't it mean?
And I think it's going to take a while to get to dig into that one.
Yeah. The only thing is that disappoints me is Jerry Brown is going to be long parachuted out before those come home to roost.
Yeah, so, but, you know, I'll encourage the DOJ to be here. I mean, Jeff Sessions doesn't seem to be anywhere else, so let's go ahead and get him out here, because we got some things out here that have nothing to do with Russian collusion.
The ballot this year, they've got the balls to ask us for more water bond money.
You know, after reading Gavin Newsom's statement in the ballot, I'm you know, starting to maybe, oh, that's right. He was too arrogant to even put a statement on the ballot. I mean, how unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't even need to bother.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you guys are going to vote for me. I don't care. You know, this is who I am. Here's my picture. Aren't I pretty?
Yeah.
Unbelievable,
I could
yeah.
see him in a black cape with two little horns sticking out of his head.
Yeah, not a good guy. So, yeah, so we'll talk about the red wave real quick because of the other water issues are going to be pretty big. So Trump has 14 goals if we hold the House and Senate. So he's number one, he's going to continue to cut taxes. Number two, he's going to cut regulations. Number three, he's going to raise our income. Four, he'll make our country greater again. Five, protect Medicare and Social Security. Six, continue to confirm judges who interpret the Constitution as written. Boy, there's a thought.
Oh, terrible.
And seven, fully secure the border. 8, pass Kate's Law. 9, stop sanctuary cities. Excuse me. 10, stop catch and release. 11, end the visa lottery. 12, end chain migration. 13, keep the criminal, drug dealers, and terrorists the hell out of our country. That's a quote. And 14, he's going to lift millions of citizens from welfare to work, from dependency to independence, and from poverty to prosperity. So that doesn't sound like a bad plan.
Yeah. Horrible guy.
Racist.
Yeah. Terrible, evil person.
So this next election is extremely important. Again, we keep hearing the blue wave and this and that. But when 90,000 people.
It's a toss up. It really depends on which part of the country are you talking about. And as far as California goes, I have no hope in California, because I think that we are so hopelessly rigged.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And when you find out that things are rigged, what do? You report it to your attorney general.
Javier
Becerra.
Mm-hmm. Who's rigged?
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go tell that guy and expect justice.
Yeah, I like Mark Baird's plan of trying to find a U.S. Marshal or somebody to go in there and start arresting people in the state capitol. Because, I mean, quite frankly, they have done some very seditious acts. They're lawless.
There has been something that I have been hollering about because I have researched it. And you can incorporate a justice of the peace, and you can incorporate in that office any powers that you choose as the citizens of a county. Is basically you can set up a justice of the peace, elect a justice of the peace, and say these are the powers that you have. And they include the powers of investigation, the powers of arrest, the powers of judgment, the powers of execution of judgment. you can basically grant a justice of the peace carte blanche.
Hmm, that would be interesting.
And you can give them the power to deputize people. You can, and justice of the peace can handle everything from traffic incidents to full blown investigations. And you can give them the power to arrest people. It's a great tool that has quietly been kind of shoved under the carpet. Oh, yeah, we just give marriages away.
Kind of like our constitutional sheriffs have more power than any other agency, top law enforcement.
If they would simply acknowledge it and stand up for it.
Another thing that's been shoved under the carpet and shoved in the corner and kind of ignored,
But they're terrified of losing their budgets.
Right. Justice of the Peace wouldn't have a budget, though, would they? Not really.
He wouldn't have to. Whatever the citizens of the county deemed, here's your budget, or, this is what it is. It's really interesting. It should be looked at, is the power that you can have as a justice of the peace. And if people get pushed to where we have charter counties, the power that you could incorporate into that office becomes all the greater.
Look for Red Smith on your ballot for Justice of the Peace. He's got my vote. And if you need to deputize anybody, I'm available. All right, we're going to go off to the break, and we'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
This time, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and his wife were shouted at while they were trying to eat a meal at a restaurant in Louisville, Kentucky this weekend. Left-wing protesters also threw some of his food on the floor and later followed him to his car. Political analyst Gary Bauer believes the extremism by the left should cause a tremendous backlash at the polls next month.
This should not only drive conservatives to turn out in larger numbers, but independents and even good old moderate Democrats. They should be deeply concerned that there are elements like this taking over their party.
Bauer is the president of American Values. Two suspects have been charged in connection with the fatal shooting of a Georgia police officer. He was killed while responding to a suspicious vehicle parked near a middle school. Gwinnett County Police say 18-year-old Tuffery Maynard has been charged with aggravated assault and felony murder, but he remains on the loose. The second suspect faces aggravated assault charges related to an incident following the shooting. The death toll now 18, injury toll 170 in a train derailment in Taiwan this morning. The central government says the Puyumi Express train was carrying nearly 370 people. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-452-6990. That's 800-452-6990. 800-452-6990. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
A Minnesota frozen food company is recalling pork and chicken products.
Buddy's Kitchen of Burnsville produced more than 212,000 pounds of ready-to-eat products containing vegetables that might be contaminated with salmonella and listeria. The products were produced between October 2017 and October 2018 and shipped to Arizona, California, Georgia, Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, and New Jersey. They have the number P4226 inside the USDA mark of inspection. No one's reported getting sick, but consumers are urged not to eat the products.
Correspondent Ron DeRockstra. Loretta Lynn says she's doing better after a brief hospital visit to treat an undisclosed illness. It kept her from attending a CMT tribute to her and other female country artists. The 86-year-old just released a new album called Wouldn't It Be Great. She was unable to attend last week's Artist of the Year ceremony. News and analysis at townhall.com. A global financial body says governments worldwide must establish rules for virtual currencies like Bitcoin to stop crooks from using them to launder money or finance terrorism.
The Financial Action Task Force says it will start assessing whether countries are doing enough to fight criminal use of virtual currencies. Countries that don't could risk being effectively put on a gray list, which can scare away investors. One task force official says we've made clear that every jurisdiction must establish virtual currency rules. It's no longer optional. The task force says that both ISIS and Al-Qaeda have used virtual currencies. Rich Thomason reporting.
Today is Sunday, October the 21st, the 294th day of 2018. There are just 71 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1879, Thomas Edison perfects a workable electric light at his laboratory in New Jersey. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sovereign Minds. We are back here. We promised we'd talk about water. So Trump has signed some legislation to lift some of the regulations, the ridiculous environmental regulations on our water, and to free up the Central Valley Water Project.
Yeah,
that's
that
in a nutshell.
Been completed for almost 50 years.
But they've been trying, Red.
They jump in the water in the ocean?
Well, the ocean needs water, too. So yeah, he's going to lift a lot of these environmental regulations, basically make water more valuable to farmers than fish. We've been fighting this fight up here for years now. Mm-hmm. We were up at the Shasta Dam here a few years ago because we were in the middle of a drought, and they had cut 100% of the agricultural water allotment to the city of Corning. 100%. The farmers got no water down there for their crops unless they pumped it themselves out of their wells.
Yeah.
No irrigation water.
We're dumping millions of gallons into the ocean.
Billions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To desalinize the delta, really.
Yeah, and to make some of the creeks have a higher flow with colder water to entice fish up. That was what we were protesting that day. Apparently 19 fish came up Clear Creek the year before. They were really hoping to get 20 this time. So they took 1.5 billion gallons of water and dumped them down into Keswick, I guess, and out down Clear, into Whiskeytown, down Clear Creek, whatever it was. And we went up there and protested. And, you know, it was like because of a fish. And here in the meantime, that was enough water to supply the city of Corning with all of their needs, irrigation, household, everything, for an entire year. Yet they had cut off 100% of the agricultural water because we were in the middle of a drought. But we need to try to entice one extra fish to come up the creek.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things that Trump signed, the memorandum, is he reminded Jerry Brown, it ain't your water. It's a federal water project. And the water's going to go to the farmers first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my thing is, okay, there should be some middle ground here. If we don't have enough water for everything and everybody, why are we not building the water storage facilities that we have taken out three separate water bonds for?
Well, and even better yet, why are we tearing out dams? Why are we tearing out dams on the Klamath River? Why are we tearing out dams in places? I mean, you know, Killark Reservoir is a very small dam, very small water project, but it's a place I take my kids fishing. You know, it's right here in the North State. The water is diverted, goes, you know, from Cow Creek and goes down into a powerhouse right outside of Oak Run there. The powerhouse has been there 100 and some years. And they say, well, it's only, you know, 3 megawatts or whatever the measurement is. Well, okay, but the pollution, if you will, from this power project is water. You know, you it's gravity and water as runs as power plant. So I don't care if it only lights one light bulb.
Hydroelectric is the cleanest, most efficient
absolutely
energy that there is other than nuclear, but then you get into the dangers of nuclear power.
Yeah, and if this powerhouse were to melt down, so to speak, you know, you basically would have some gravel in the creek, you know, versus glowing fish.
Yeah.
So, but again, I mean, California, instead of increasing water storage, they're tearing out little pockets of water storage all over the place. And then when it comes time to, well, now we need to save the fish. Well, we don't have enough water storage for our farmers, for crying out loud. How are you going to save the fish now?
And, Red, you're really against Sykes Reservoir, right?
I am not a fan of Sykes Reservoir. No. I am a fan of building water storage. There are, I think, projects that are far superior that would provide a greater benefit. I think Sites is a boondoggle that benefits very certain people, including Jerry Brown's personal ranch that is just right downstream from it. And the introduction of Sites Reservoir would actually increase the aquifer in his land that would help to increase the value of his land through being able to tap into very irrigable water, and the fact that it would raise the water table that would bring to the surface pockets of gas and oil on his land that he used taxpayer money to survey.
I think the Sites Reservoir is just another one of those issues that they don't want to have they never want to find a solution with, just like illegal immigration or everything else. It's our elected representatives and our big government that does not want to find a solution, because if you find a solution, you no longer have the issue to run on. So every 2 years, we need the Sykes Reservoir to come back out because we have a congressman that needs to run on water storage and needs to appease the ranchers and farmers. So, I knew it was an election year.
I've looked at the Sykes Reservoir. I've talked to some people. I've talked to hydrologists. I've talked to engineers. And they said that with the surface area of the Sykes Reservoir and the soils underneath, the way that the aquifer would work, and the fact that it would be a shallow water reservoir that would be susceptible to algae blooms and biological contamination, that they would actually have to pump more water out of the Sacramento River system to the Sykes Reservoir to keep it functional than it would actually produce net water as storage. It's a boondoggle.
And don't forget that the water that's going to the Sykes Reservoir is this extreme runoff we have during the springs and stuff where the, you know, Cottonwood Creek looks like the Mississippi River at certain times in March. And so you have huge amounts of sediment, huge amounts of pollution coming down that stream bed. It's going to be diverted over into the Sykes Reservoir. So you're going to have a whole bunch of muddy water filled with pollutants and sediment that's going to sit in a shallow basin, you know, and then sit out in the sun. So what are you going to have? You're going to basically have the Great Salt Lake eventually.
Yeah, it's going to be a junk pond.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's something about if they do pump water from the Sacramento River into the Sykes, a lot of it will be lost to evaporation. Is that correct?
Absolutely. They actually projected something like almost 60% surface retention loss while they're pumping it over.
That's
a
lot.
It's a huge boondoggle. I am hugely supportive of – I think we should start building reservoirs and basically not stop. We've got the area for it. We've got the water for it. We could use the boon and jobs in creating the dams and maintaining the dams, the increase in tourism and the different benefits. Absolutely, we should be building our water structure. The Sykes Reservoir is a joke.
What about what do you guys think about raising the dam? What is it, 18 feet?
Why?
That That's what I was wondering.
Well, I know why. I know why, because there is a contract on that dam that the water behind that dam is... The water behind the dam is controlled by the Federal Bureau of Reclamation.
Sure.
And the contract eventually expires, and when it expires, that's no longer under the control of the Department of Reclamation. So, but if we were to raise the dam, it creates a whole new contract. So we still have the power to control that water, because, God forbid... that contract expires. Where's that dam lie? What county does that dam lie in?
Yeah, right. Who runs it?
Mm-hmm. And who has all the water rights to that water behind there if the Federal Bureau of Reclamation is no longer in charge of it?
And what I'd like to know is, if they do raise it 18 feet, is that water going to encroach on the north side of the bridge on I-5? So are they going to have to rebuild the bridge?
Well, one of the big things is that it would put underwater traditional Wind 2 land.
Right.
You know, which I do not agree with. And it would definitely change the hydrology. But at the same time, when is the last time that you saw Shasta Dam so full that it needed another 18 feet of cement to hold it all?
Not in my lifetime.
Yeah, now it's getting pretty low. It's October, so I drive over there twice a week. And you can definitely see the water level is way down. So another 18 feet, another 2,000 feet, it wouldn't really matter. You know, instead of being 200 feet down from the top of the dam, it'd be 218 feet down.
There needs to be expansion of the Central Valley Water Project, too. We need to run parallel reservoirs like Whiskeytown. And to be quite honest, they need a lake on the other side of the ridge, on the Humboldt side, that's part of the Trinity system to help support them, too.
Well, I tell you what, right now all the trees have been cleared, so you're ready to go to build another reservoir over there. You don't have to go in there and log anything.
You know, Ruth Lake's not getting it done.
Hey, we have Matt on the phone. Matt, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
We can. What's going on?
All right, I just want to jump in here. You know, they're not building dams or reservoirs because they want to drive you into the cities. If you look at what happened with Representative Noonan's in 2007-2008, he was fighting for water down there, and it became abundantly clear that the more money the government gets for water, they just spend it on environmental projects, not on providing water, because they don't want us in these rural communities. Second thing I want to throw out to you guys, you ever look up the federal contract with the Shasta Dam? Raising the dam just increases the federal government's control on the dam. It extends that.
Renews it another 99 years.
What needs to happen is we need to remove the dredging laws and allow Shasta Dam to be dredged and allow the people to profit from whatever gold they find. You'd have entrepreneurs up the yin-yang out there dredging out material. You want to increase water. I also think that up here in Jefferson, we need to build our own personal water reserves, if you can, and figure it out, because quite honestly, water's life, and that's why they want to control it so much. I'm not giving this government another dime for water reserves when they're just intentionally causing a crisis to justify going after property water rights, and I'll let you guys discuss that after I get off. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Matt. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Our Prop 68, remember when we passed Prop 68, $4.1 billion water bond that we passed last June? Two-thirds of those monies have been spent.
On what?
State parks, open space, forests, beaches, and contributions to non-governmental organizations.
Yeah, I was going
to
say a lot of it was diverted into environmental groups who then in turn donated to Democratic campaigns. So.
Yeah, and used the money to fund court cases to stop us from building water.
So basically, it was kind of a water project because it was laundering, and you have to use water to launder.
Wow.
So we have Lori on the phone. Lori, are you there? Good morning, Lori.
This is Peter.
Okay. Well, we have Peter on the phone.
Oh, here's a man that does.
Hold on.
Knows his way around water.
Who do we have on the phone? Is anyone there?
Hi, this is Lori.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Lori. I guess we got Lori. Hey.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, I was just going to maybe share, since you're talking about water and very important issues, if I could share briefly the full house attendance last night at Dane Wigington's Climate Engineering Awareness event that we had at the Holiday Inn. We had about standing room only and excellent overview of that we have interventions of outside forces that are completely controlling and manipulating the planetary function that we all depend on. So, yes, we can look at, you know, what's going on with hurricanes and floods and sea rise and droughts and crops and all the things that are very important. But if we don't get a handle or realize that there are some very dark forces manipulating so much of our food supply, that we're going to be facing things far greater. So I was just going to suggest that your listeners stay tuned and check Dane's website in the next few weeks for the complete presentation in case they missed it last night.
And that's geoengineering.org?
The actual website is geoengineeringwatch.org.
Okay.
And I was kind of amazed that there was such a lack of media there. And, of course, I wasn't really expecting our local meteorologist to be there, but you never know. Anyway, I was just wanting to share that with people. It was well-attended. We had people from many, many different states and even an individual from Australia.
Nice.
Yes. So, there's a lot we can do locally, but there are things that are kind of out of our control unless we bring about awareness and awake others, and that's why I just want people to be that we're not wasting our efforts, if I can say that word, that we're not losing our traction, that we have to expose the swamp above us.
And it's quite a swamp, isn't it? It is. Pretty big, deep swamp.
Thank you guys for taking my call and you know, addressing that there's a lot to the equation.
All right. Thank you, Lori. Thanks for calling.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Now we have Peter on the phone. We said the water word, didn't we, Peter? That got you.
Actually, listen, I wasn't going to call in, but now I'm on the phone to get on the water. But I did want to mention about educated people. I found the most educated people in the world are the biggest liars. And I don't mean to offend people that are educated or anything like that, but I think you know what I mean. You look at all the attorneys and the politicians and all that, and look at all the lies that have come out of Washington and over the last, since Trump's been in. But anyway, look, getting onto the water, the question I wanted to ask you, I thank you for your education. I respect it immensely. I'm sure you know a lot more about this Sykes Dam than I did, and I found it very interesting. But my question is, so where would you, or what would you want to increase our water supply? Where would we build a dam?
Well, like I said, there's several locations that could be used. There's a couple on the eastern slope in the Sierra Nevadas that have some very good qualities to them. Using the Sierra Nevada runoff to be direct contributors to the San Joaquin Valley. One that's very near and dear to, you know, my heart is the Trinity River on the other side of the ridge on the Humboldt side. The coastal side needs water storage. You could look at an expansion of the water storage out of Ruth Dam. Clear Lake needs expansion. The Eel River is one of the rivers that is actually suffering due to a lack of water. So if you have a lack of water in the river, you need to increase your water storage so that you can have enough water to actually blow out the river and contribute to the farmers and the things that they need there. There's several locations that could benefit from water storage.
Yeah,
you know, I found it very interesting because, you know, Doug Lamoff is supporting the other thing, and I support him, and I've always thought, you know, if he says it's okay, it's got to be okay. But it was very educational this morning. But so you're not against dams or anything like that?
Oh, no, not at all.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. And you know,
listen, that gentleman that called up earlier, the government wants you living in a cardboard box in the city and dumbed down by marijuana and just pay your taxes. And let them drive around their big stretch limos, living in the fancy hills out, fancy homes out in the hills.
Yep.
But if you had a couple of hours, I'd love to tell you what's going on with our water system right now. We had a rate study done by the government, and the guy's a great guy that's doing it. I'm not saying anything against him, but we'll be ended up paying 57 cents for 100 gallons of water out here. With a base rate of anywhere from $76 to $120 for a 5/8 meter. If you got a 2/8 meter without a, if you got a 2-inch meter without a without a sprinkler system in your house, they'll be wanting $570 every 2 months base rate plus 57 cents for a gallon of water.
Good Whoa. Lord.
And we got people out here using, you know, in the summertime, you know, a million gallons of water.
That's like a $70 shower.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just incredible. But we're having a lot of meetings coming up there. And, of course, the, you know, all Minturn does is he calls up the paper and everyone to shut up or he'll get them fired, as he's done in the past. And so no, you know, nobody with any clout will listen to us or, you know, they're all told to leave us alone, don't talk to us and whatever else.
You know, I don't know how technically advanced you are, Peter, but if you could, if you aren't, if you could find somebody, I'll tell you, nobody listens to the media anymore. Nobody no. listens to Record Search Letter, whatever. Everything's online now. You might be able to do a lot of good with some Facebook posts if you can get a, you know, a Facebook or a Twitter or something out there, a presence there.
I'm not one of those sort of people.
No, I understand that, but you know what? There are people out there, and yeah. if you can find one of them, you can probably get your story out there a lot better than yeah. waiting for the Record Search Light to record your plight by any means. But yeah. I would really suggest that.
Thanks for your show of a Sunday morning. I look forward to it every Sunday.
All right, Peter, we look forward to you calling.
God bless you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, we have Mark on the phone. Shall we go to Mark?
Hi guys, how you doing today?
Hey Mark. Mark Barrett, how you doing?
Good. Hey, I wanted to chime in on this water deal because California has a very complex system of water rights and red noses stuff already, but some of our water rights are actually some of the best in the United States. But here's the problem. The state of California with the Environmental Law Foundation just won a lawsuit in the Ninth Circuit Court and against Siskiyou County. And the judge in the Ninth Circuit gave them things they weren't even asking for. For example, what the original suit was, they wanted to prove that water in wells that's within a certain distance of a river actually belongs to all the people of the state of California. It's a public trust, and so the people of the state of California get to regulate those wells. Well, the judge, the county of Siskiyou stuck with this. No other county would help them. No water agency would help them. No one pitched in any money, any attorneys. They thought, well, you know, it's just Siskiyou County. If they twist in the wind, it's okay. You can't see that place from our backyard. But here's the problem. When it got to the Ninth Circuit, the three-judge court gave the ELF things they weren't even asking for. For example, they gave them that all water of the state of California is a public trust, and the state has the right to regulate all water, including well water. So the gentleman that just called in, if he's on a water district, in other words, if he does not own his well and own his property, then all he can do is either pay the bill or turn off the water or get out a bunch of money and try suing him back and you'll lose. So what we've done here is we've allowed our liberty to get away, particularly with water. Now, water is considered groundwater is considered a shared right. It is a real property right because you own your land, you own your well.
It's deep.
You own the water under your property. However, there is a recognition that you share that right with your neighbor because if you build a well with 150-inch casing and start pumping 50 million gallons an hour out of the well, you're going to dry up everyone's well. So that part of the issue is usually handled among neighbors. But there was a law about 5-10 years ago that demanded that California or counties create these water districts to regulate well water. Now, here in Siskiyou County, we call them water enhancement districts. In other words, the purview of the committee is only to determine how to put more water in those wells, not how to regulate the water that comes out of them. Other counties did other things not so good. But the next thing is the federal government steps in with Donald Trump, well-intentioned maybe, I don't know, you know, probably is. But what he's done now is he's trying to get in charge of the Central Valley Project with Ryan Zinke, who is, boy, that guy is iffy on a good day to me. And what they've done in the Klamath Basin is they've tried to streamline NEPA and CEQA, Well, the dam busters up here are latching on to that because they control the environmental process. Oh, yeah, yeah, streamline NEPA, streamline CEQA, and that way we can resurrect a 20-year-old study that says we were right all along and you need to blow these dams up. So instead of addressing the disease, he addressed the symptoms of the disease, and now the dam wreckers are in maybe a better position up here than they were in before. And in the Central Valley Project down below, everyone's looking at taking more Northern California water and delivering it to Westland's water so that they can make $1 billion selling it to L.A. That's an ancillary problem. It is a problem. But part of the problem was they were restricting flow out of the San Joaquin River and some of the southern valley rivers so that those farmers couldn't directly use their water. Look, we have a huge problem here that the president is not well informed about. I believe the guy's got his heart in the right place. I believe he's trying to do the right thing. But the environmentalists and the communists are going to twist this program to suit their own needs. And what we need is someone who really knows these issues to contact President Trump or get a hold of the guy and sit him down with Zinke and tell him how the cow's actually eating the cabbage. There could be some real good done here, but it's not being done. And I agree with Red. We should be building reservoirs any place there's a dip in the ground where a dam can be built. Fish have found a way to make it for millions of years before we came here. They'll be here millions of years after we're gone. This has nothing to do with the fish or the environment or climate change or any of that stuff. It never did. This is about money and power. And what we as people need to do is step in and demand our liberty and demand the right to live as human beings. And water is necessary to that life. And we need more water storage, not less, all we can build.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
Absolutely.
I mean, we
thanks,
should start...
guys, and thanks for what you're doing. All right. I will get out of the way.
Thank you, Mark.
I agree. We should start building water storage and not stop.
And to answer one of Peter's questions there, you know, when I think he obviously realizes we are definitely for water storage. But, you know, another thing we need to remember up here is some of our creeks and streams are as big as the rivers they have down south. I mean, when I live down there and I see the Calaveras River, I'm like, that, you call that a river?
The Los Angeles River is a cement trough.
Well, yeah, you know, or the Tuolumne or whatever, you know, but the Calaveras River, I mean, they have water storage on there. They, you know, they have Lake Comanche up there. It's a big giant reservoir they put on there. Mm-hmm. So when you think about water storage, it doesn't just have to be rivers. Doesn't it just have to be the Trinity River or the Sacramento River? You know, Hat Creek up in Lassen Park there is as big as the Calaveras River. Well, you know, there's a lot of ground in there. It comes out of the park and it spills down into a big old giant gorge before it goes down to the campgrounds and where everybody fishes down there. Well,
you look at the amount of pure water that comes just out of Bernie Falls a day.
There you go. Yeah.
You're telling me you can't build some downstream water storage there for the benefit? You can tap it right into the Central Valley water system.
Yep.
You can, I mean, hell, you could even run some of it over the other side of the mountain down into Nevada.
You know, the first time I was in Ballyshannon, Ireland, in this town there's a river called the Erne River that goes through the town. And in the late 40s, they built a hydroelectric dam there. And the first time I was there, me and my wife were standing there, and I asked some guy, I said, what's that thing going up the front of the dam right there? He's like, oh, it's a salmon ladder. And the dam is not as big as Shasta, but it's a significant dam, and there's a salmon ladder going right up that sucker.
Mm-hmm.
Why hasn't anybody talked about that?
We have fish ladders here. We have fish ladders down. The Red Bluff Diversion Dam has a fish ladder. Shasta Dam doesn't really have a fish ladder. It's,
right.
For whatever reason, why it's too
they,
big.
Why did they stop working? We've used fish ladders for decades with no problem, but suddenly they like what? These fish went to college and couldn't figure anything out?
Yeah, racist.
Yeah. But, I mean, that dam's probably about two-thirds the size of Shasta Dam, but, you know, it's...
Yeah.
And I was...
Yeah, they'll find a way.
I just went, wow.
Yeah, fish ladders work. Again, we have a fish ladder on the Diversion Dam in Red Bluff, and, I mean, you know, you go down to Clear Creek, or, excuse me, Hat Creek right now, and it's full of salmon, so they made it. They made it above that dam. Now, they don't go above Shasta Dam for whatever reason. A fish ladder was never put in. It was too big. I don't know what the issue is there.
I think they just didn't think about it.
Well, and the other big thing that we've got going on is our fish stocks lower than what they used to be. Yes, but give me a historical baseline. I'll wait.
Right, exactly.
And okay, and we never address the other things that are going on that are hurting the salmon stocks. Let's talk about the Japanese Navy that sits 11 miles offshore with factory ships and rapes the harvest.
And is canning them on the boat. Yeah.
Canning them in the, murdering them in the millions of fish. We don't talk about that.
And then we put all sorts of limits on our own fishermen out here. You know, you can catch two of these and one of those and three of these, and it can't have a black mouth, but it can't have a pink mouth, but, you know, on and on and on.
Yeah, I've got friends that are salmon fishermen and crabbers and stuff out of Humboldt, and they can literally go out there and watch the Japanese, and they're rocking 40-mile-long nets.
Wow.
Just pulling all of this stuff in, and they take it right to a factory ship, they process it, they flash freeze it, and boom, out it goes. And they are raping the ocean. They're sitting right in the ocean currents to get the biggest pull on the harvest. And we're sitting here going, oh, where'd all the fish go?
And they probably keep everything,
it's
huh?
Sushi.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it must be a climate change. I guess that's what's stopping in our dams. So.
Yeah, but we don't talk about those things. We don't talk about the other contributing factors. And you know, you talk about, okay, well, the water's too warm, like we had the fish kill in the Klamath some years ago because there wasn't enough water. Well, what does that tell you? If there's not enough water, you need more water, not less, more.
And we also have predators on salmon that we don't want to talk about because they're so cute and have the big brown eyes and stuff. But I'll tell you what, any fisherman out there absolutely despises sea lions.
How about cormorants?
Well,
those birds, yeah. I heard they eat a lot of fry.
They probably do.
You ever seen a bear stand right in the middle of a fish ladder and eat his fill? Yeah, they're not dumb.
You tell them to leave. Hey, we have Trisha on the phone. Trisha, are you there?
No, this is Frank.
Okay. Well, you're definitely not Trish, Frank, that's for sure. I don't know how we got you confused there, but what you got, Frank?
Well, I'd like to let you know that the 25th and 26th and 27th next week is the stand down at the Shasta Fairgrounds, and it's for homeless veterans, their families, and pets. And we have providers in one building and then sleeping quarters that they can stay overnight. And we have a lot of volunteers, and they serve food for everybody, three meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And because of the fire, you're going to find out that there's a lot more homeless veterans now because their houses burned down. We're also going to be having a special fund donations for the car fire veterans victims as well. And that starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. And Carl Bott's going to be on there this Thursday morning, Friday morning from 7 to 9. He does a show there every year for the stand down. So I just want everybody to come on down to the stand down and volunteer because we need a lot of volunteers to help. And if you're a provider of any kind, you can also come down and register.
Okay, so that's the 25th, 26th, 27th, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Is that correct, Frank?
That is correct.
Okay, Thursday, Friday, Saturday down at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. So if you're a veteran and need some services, by all means, head on down there. There'll be a lot of people there to help you.
And now that I said all that, the next thing I'm going to do is get a great big long cold glass of water.
All right, Frank, you enjoy that. I've been doing my part in conserving water. I just drink bottled water that has hops and barley in it, so that's been helping me out a lot.
You might need a permit for that glass of water because that water don't belong to you. You need to share it with everybody else.
God bless, guys.
All right, you too, Frank.
Go say
the man. All right. Yeah, that was another thing. Rainwater. Rainwater is owned by the government. That is not yours. If it falls on your property, it is not your water. That's the government's water, and you better get it back to them. Don't put a cistern at the bottom of your downspout.
We actually, myself and a couple other people, helped a guy out of, you know where Piercy is? It's right on the Humboldt County, Mendocino line.
Okay.
Well, he's got a ranch up there in the hills, and his troughs, his feed troughs, caught rainwater during the storms because guess what? It rains over there. It's weird. They weren't even water storage tanks. They were just his feed troughs that were retaining water. And the state went after him and tried to sue him and fine him for illegally retaining. What was the word? It wasn't retaining. It was interfering with the transference of groundwater or something like that. And, you know, we did a lot of research and, you know, helped that guy dig up some stuff. And he ended up winning, you know, but a couple $100,000 and, you know,
That reminds me, I haven't cleaned my gutters out, so I better go do that because if they overflow,
not be holding water.
Yeah, if they're holding water, I'm probably going to go to jail. So,
but a lot of that power was taken away when Trump repealed the Waters of the United States Act.
Nice.
So basically what they're trying to do is it looks like to me, is they're trying to replicate the Waters of the United States on a state-by-state basis. You know, and the question is where does their authority extend over that?
Yeah, well, all I know is if water's falling on my property and it's coming out of the sky, that's my water.
Well, I'm okay. If it belongs to the government, fine. I'm going to charge you a storage fee.
Yeah, or, you know, and I'll tell you what, I've had some stuff damaged. Once in a while, I'll leave my windows rolled down in a rainstorm. Is the government going to pay for the damage to the interior of my car?
It's their water,
it's
right?
It's their water. Or if we have an excessive amount and
if
a house
floods,
does the government pay for that?
Did you fail to contain your property?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, your property had my couch floating in the living room. I think you should pay for that.
Sometimes I wonder if we're not better off not fighting these things, but just going with them and then just piling on and being like, oh, hey, by the way.
So, hey, Jared, we probably need to go off to another break.
So if I'm in my shower and their water that comes out of the shower head makes my floor too slippery and I slip and fall.
Yeah.
You know, do I sue the state?
I would think so. It's their water.
It's their water.
I mean,
by the way, come get it off my bathroom floor.
You were just leasing it.
Or do I have to charge you to remove it?
And by the way, send a state agency to get right off the floor of his shower stall.
Bring a couple guys.
All right. Well, with that image in your head, why don't we go off to a break and we'll come back on the other side.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
This is Carl Vaught, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting. And Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in their wood, moisture in their stucco would be a couple things to look for. And then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Market Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, that estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
Three Dog Night is coming to Redding's historic Cascade Theater October 28th. Don't miss this chance to see Three Dog Night and hear all their iconic hits in the intimate setting of the Cascade. Three Dog Night, October 28th. Get tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Starry, starry night. Paint your palette blue and gray. Look out on a summer's day with eyes that know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hills. Sketch the trees and the daffodils. Catch the breeze and the winter chills in colors on the snowy linen land. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen. They did not.
All right.
Like the difference between the single exhaust and the dual exhaust.
I was just explaining to Red that, you know, some of the stuff is going on here in this state in particular, but in this country, it's not socialism, it's democratic socialism. And Red seemed a little confused, like he didn't see the difference.
I don't get it.
I can't quite explain the difference to him, but that's what I've seen on the memes. So I've heard people say that comment. It's not socialism, it's democratic socialism.
What's the difference?
Racist.
Exactly.
Yeah. We were talking about some of the things that are going on here, and it's the communist movement, and what you were talking about, the red shoe movement, which was news to me. So.
Oh, yeah. I saw my first red shoe here in Redding a while ago, and the red shoe movement actually started out amongst women wearing red shoes to symbol their empowerment and their work towards feminism and all of these things. And then they got these guys that started the red shoe movement as allies of the feminist movement, and it's now progressed to the secret advertisement of, hey, I'm a communist too.
Hmm.
You know, it was actually funny. It was a very well-tailored, nicely dressed older gentleman, nice business suit, running around in his little Chuck Taylors, and I was sitting across eating from him, and this guy's just staring me down the whole time. I'm there in my Jefferson gear and my Jefferson Border Patrol hat, and you know, I'm sitting with my family, so everybody's walking, you know, We the People tattoos and, you know, big old Patriot rings and stuff. And he's just staring us down the whole time. And I'm like, man, what is this guy's problem? And he gets up to leave, and there he is in his little red shoes. So he's like, oh, I get it. I get the problem. You want to go out in the parking lot, pal?
Maybe we start wearing green shoes, green and yellow shoes. That would look kind of good. Except I don't think they'd be shoes, maybe like steel-toed boots, because yes. I don't know.
Yeah, work boots.
Oh, good. Jared didn't beep him, because work, four-letter word there.
So, but it just, it's so out of hand, and you know, I was raised in a military family. I mean, Christ sakes, my granddad worked for SAC, okay? And the fact to me that communists are out in the open and openly speaking and all of these things, it blows me away that these people dare to put their head above ground, let alone to be out in the open. And then I hear the argument of, oh, well, they've got a right. No, they don't. Okay, that's not free speech. When your speech is anathema and opposing everything that America stands for, ripping out the Constitution, destroying our form of government, and placing it with something else, that is sedition.
Well, you have free speech in this country because of the Constitution. So if you're out there advocating the overthrowing of the Constitution or the destruction of the Constitution, well, I think then your free speech ends.
Yeah, it's sedition now.
Right.
I mean, absolutely sedition.
Pretty simple. I mean, we have the Second Amendment, but if you're against the Constitution, well, then maybe you shouldn't have the Second Amendment, but I'll go ahead and keep mine because I'm not against the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have a civil war and see how that works for you.
Well, I was talking to my six-year-old this morning. We were on our way down to the radio station. They were on their way to church, and we were talking about the amendments. And I asked her, well, what's the First Amendment? She goes, well, that's none of your business. And I said, no, that's the Fourth Amendment.
I like it.
No. But and that's part of what we need to do too is we need to be educating our children, whether it's your niece, your nephew, the kid next door. I mean, we've got to get these kids understanding what they're surrendering, what they're losing, and what you're really looking at.
Yeah, and we need to kill the argument of, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't worry about it. You shouldn't worry about them listening to your phone conversations. You shouldn't worry about them, looking into your background. If you didn't do anything wrong, no. That is absolutely 100%.
They may one day change the definition of what's wrong,
yeah,
and by then it's too late.
Absolutely.
And do they still teach the Constitution in grade school?
Some of them. High school,
do, I think.
My daughter went to Anderson New Tech. I will give a shout out there. She went to Anderson New Tech. She had a very good teacher there. I forget her name, but it was a very good teacher. And she said, she comes home one day and says, well, they're learning about the Constitution. So immediately my hackles go up. I'm defensive. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. There's going to be a conference down at the school, but then she starts telling me what they're teaching. I'm like, well, did they tell you this? Yeah, she did. She went over that. Well, she went over that. And I'm like,
nice.
Wow, yeah, I was very impressed. So there is definitely still schools out there. There's still some great teachers out there, some wonderful teachers out there, but there's an awful lot of them, too, that aren't.
Yeah, I've run into a few with my oldest daughter. She was going through and ran into some issues. And there are some very good teachers that work very hard to get around what they're supposed to do in the curriculum and try to teach our kids. And then there's some that, for example, my daughter was going to a local junior high here, and she came home with all of this five pillars of Islam and all of these different things. And I went, okay, well, wait a minute. So I called the teacher up and I asked him what was going on. He goes, oh, well, we're examining world religions. I said, okay, I got no problem with that. So are you teaching Buddhism? Well, no. Hinduism? No. Sikhism, Confucianism, Taoism, Christianity, Catholicism? No. So you're only teaching Islam? Well, yeah. Okay, well, then you're not teaching religion. You're not teaching world religion. You're indoctrinating, and it ain't going to happen. And went round and round with him and the principal on that one.
We got Johnny on the line. Johnny, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you guys doing?
How you doing, Johnny?
Pretty good, man. I was laughing. I was taking off my red bands when you were talking about the shoes.
Commie.
And I said to myself, oh, no, when you let these guys take over the color red for shoes, not after the game off, you took the rainbow flag over. We got a popular motorcycle club, and their colors happen to be one of them's red. And so, motorcycle guys down here in San Diego, we wear red and white shoes, and so don't mistake the red and white shoes for commies. It's quite the opposite.
Well, just don't wear your red Vans with a three-piece suit to stare at red, and I don't think we'll confuse you.
All right, I'll make sure I don't.
All right, Johnny.
Guys, I appreciate the show.
Thanks for the call, man.
Have a good one, man.
All right, man. Guys, bye.
So is Robert still on the phone, or Robert's gone? Hey, Robert, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. If you want to call back, we will be here. So,
did we have another call? Okay. So,
yeah, I'll tell you what, the red shoes, I would be worried about wearing those into a Crips neighborhood. No matter whether you're part of the biker club or part of the communist movement or whatever it is, I definitely would not recommend wearing red shoes into the Crips neighborhood.
Well, if you're curious, I suppose you could always check them for their pink underoos.
You might want to try to explain to them through the hail of bullets, hey, no, I'm a communist. I'm not blood. I'm a communist. on second thought, the motorcycle club, don't go there. But, any of you red-shoeing communist-wearing guys, why don't you go explain your ideology to some Crips?
Yeah, tell them that you're there to help them.
Absolutely. I think
you're there to empower them.
Tell them you're from the Democratic Party and you're there to help.
You were here to help.
Bring some extra red shoes with you. So
great. Now my wife's going to throw away her red shoes and buy different colored ones. It's going to cost me.
I had a couple comments when Red was talking about red high-heeled shoes and women were wearing them and to be empowered in the feminist movement, and I'm thinking, well, I don't know what I think about with red high heels. It has nothing to do with feminism by any means.
No, and it's silly. A lot of the stuff that's it's going on, but we've got to start fighting back against it. We've got to stop accommodating these arguments, and we've got to start calling bullshit on things, because that's exactly what it is. is it's nonsense, and we have to start calling nonsense and pointing out the fallacies of these arguments and how ridiculous they are. And I'm so tired of these arguments of moral equivalency. Oh, well, this person did this, but it's validated because this person did this 60 years ago, or this person did this over here. No.
I think when I leave here today, I'm going to go look for some size 15 red shoes, and I'm going to flash the OK and the peace sign to everybody I see, because those are racist symbols.
I'm going to go give you some great big red Ronald McDonald shoes.
Well, those will probably fit me. So, hey, I think Robert's back on the line. So, Robert, you're there. We're sorry we lost you.
Hey, yeah, I think you guys missed something last night. It was some pretty good information.
Okay.
It goes right back to the 1920s where they show the biplanes putting out these sprays in the air. It's been there for a long time, and they've always tried. And I think these guys in the university, I'm not a man-made global warming. You know, Mr. Sun does most of that. But I think these guys really believe it, and they've been doing something that really does kind of mess us all up here. And it goes back to the 20s, and they show the planes. They show, you just can't believe what they put, little biplane to create these massive clouds. And we had a big showing last night. They had packed that two ballrooms up, that the adjoining ballrooms at the Holiday Inn. And you know, usually I see a lot of you guys there, but we've been falling by the wayside. You know, we don't realize these guys are kind of poisoning us with their own scares of their own environmental problems. They're believing that too much what's going on, and we're actually doing some of this stuff to us locally. They target us, and
well, that's,
and they
like
think they're doing good.
That,
and I think that they might have had something to do with the car fire. That's all.
You know, people that say the government would never spray us with poison. You ever heard of DDT?
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Well, was there any talk
there?
You
can really trust the government, you know.
Was there any talk there, Robert? Because I saw a little blurb on Facebook or on a post, and I didn't dig into it, so I don't know if it was true or not, or a Russian bot or whatever. But I did see some talk on one of the blogs that Trump did come in and sign, you know, some sort of executive order that's going to stop the spraying. And I have
he keeps. He keeps finding a lot of stuff in the swamp, and that's what the problem is. It, you know, he's just one little guy has to point the right guys to do all of his research for him.
Well, I have noticed
find out these things.
There
you know?
Hasn't been very many contrails up in the sky, whether you want to call them contrails, chemtrails, whatever you want to call them.
I've noticed a slight decrease, but there are still. I think they put it in the additives of the fuel. Aluminum makes jet fuel burn more efficient. So I think that they found out how to kill two stones. Kill two things from one stone.
All right. Well, I also know that there's some hurricanes that have been hitting the mainland, whereas before.
Yeah, Dane went into that last night, showing how they do that with microwave. The microwave.
Did he have a reason why they now are hitting the United States rather than?
Well,
he
showed how they showed how they were using the heating of those microwave transmitters to steer the edges of the hurricane to certain directions. You know, it's not like you can. It's like being in a boat. The wind will take you. You have to kind of figure out. You might not know everything, but you can try to steer it in there. They're trying to control the weather. Well, how successful they are. They might be more successful sometimes than they are, but who wouldn't? What country wouldn't try to control the weather? What country wouldn't make it top secret and make it hard for anybody to know where we're at? It's just they treat it like a war.
Yeah.
And these guys are up there playing with us, and we're the guinea pigs because we're down here and we don't have any say in it. But it's for our good, you know. So they make it top secret for these people, and they have. Dane even had a general that was willing to testify the last time, but the car fire kind of screwed it up, and they couldn't get him back. But he flew in, he had to turn around and fly back, and he was involved in the weather warfare program.
Huh.
So.
All right, Robert, we're just about the top of the hour. Appreciate your phone call.
Like I say, I'm not big on man-made global warming, but I think we're doing some things to ourselves in this respect.
Very possible. Yeah. All right, Robert. Thanks a lot. See you tomorrow night, huh?
All right, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. So we got about a minute left here. Went pretty fast, as it usually does.
I've had this sense of, like, there's this just big pregnant pause.
I know.
Like, we're going to hit the elections, and all hell's just going to break loose afterwards.
That's how I feel. I mean, if there is a blue wave after the elections, a lot of the stuff that Trump's been doing and been slowly accomplishing is probably going to come to a halt.
You mean Congress is suddenly going to remember they have authority and power?
Well, yeah, when that party's in power, they always remember they have power. It's the other party that forgets, yeah, when they say, oh, well, we have. If you give us the House, we'll be able to do something.
The left has already stated that if they don't take these elections, that they're looking at civil unrest and that, insurrection.
What you wish for.
That was my next point. Quite frankly, every time they lose power, and they have been losing power for the last 2 years, left and right, and I mean, it started with the Trump. You know, as soon as he won that election, I mean, the left melted down. We took away a lot of their funding with the Janus decision. We got the moderate off the Supreme Court, replaced him with a conservative. I mean, these people are absolutely desperate at this point. And if we have a red wave in November, holy smoly, what's going to happen?
Yeah, go get your sister's jeans on, get out your little handkerchief, and come at me with your black hawk. I dare you.
Come at me with your red shoes.